Turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm number 119. Psalm number 119. Our theme for the year at Open Door Baptist Church is According to Thy Word. So we're going to use this message. The Lord, more appropriately, is going to use this message to get us started with that theme. Psalm number 119, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments." Now, you notice several times in our text the word way or the word ways. In verse number 10, there is that word wander. And I want to bring a message entitled, "The Difference Between Walking and Wandering in Life." The difference between walking and wandering in life. Let's pray together one last time before we preach. Father, thank you again for your word. I pray that we would, Lord, be obedient. Take your word, apply it to our hearts and our lives. Lord, we would honor you and glorify you the way that we ought to, because your word has impact in everything we do, in everything we say, in everything we think, in everything we feel, that the word of God would guide it. I pray this morning, Father, if there is one here who does not know you as Savior, they'd get it settled according to Thy word. We love you this morning. We thank you for your word. Thank you we can have it in our own language. Bless us from the reading and the hearing and the preaching of it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a seemingly popular bumper sticker that I have personally noticed on several Jeep vehicles that says, "Not all who wander are lost." Anybody seen that phrase? Okay. Anybody seen it on social media? Let me ask you this. Anybody recognize it as to its origin? One. All right, I'm going to put her on the spot. She likes taking tests. I know that from Sunday school. Where is it from? That is correct for 10 points. No, not for the women. That goes back to our Sunday school and our weekly contest. The line apparently derives from the writings of one John Ronald Rule Tolkien, or J.R.R. Tolkien. Now famous author, born in modern-day South Africa on January 3rd, 1892. Tolkien's father passed away when he was 3 years old, and his mother when he was 12 years old. But he obviously did not allow those unfortunate circumstances to disable his life's potential. The phrase, "Not all who wander are lost," comes from, as you heard, one of the earlier books in the series Lord of the Rings. I believe it's Fellowship of the Rings is what it's called. I've not read the books. I have seen a couple of the movies. And is referenced for a character by the name Aragorn, who, although possessing the heritage of his father as king, is unaware of it in childhood. Once he makes the realization, he leaves his peaceful town and wanders into the wild, hoping with his travels to gain valuable insights to help him be a good king. Is that pretty accurate? Coincidentally, a large portion of our Bible book of Psalms comes humanly from a king who seemingly spent much time wandering about the wilderness, tending sheep, while gaining valuable lessons for his future kingdom. Possibly King David's most famous offering of scriptures heavily emphasizes the way or ways or refers to synonyms like path. Psalm number 119, for instance, verse number 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And though walking and wandering may seem and appear similarly, we need to know that there's a vast difference. See our text verses again, if you will. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee up with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments, I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word, with my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments." What I see in our society, and this is not anything new, anybody that has ever observed a society, whether it be in the 21st century or whether it be in centuries previous or even the early days of humanity, anybody that will observe a little while has watched, and there are those that wander through life, and then there are those that walk through life. And there's a vast difference between the two. Number one, I want you to notice this morning the way. We've seen it over and over and over again, verses 1, verse 3, verse 5, verse number 9, the way. This is the space set aside or created for maneuvering. That's phenomenal, isn't it? Mind-blowing truth. But I want you to think about it. The space set aside or created for maneuvering. In general, we see that in verse number 1. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way." The way. So this is in general, and God has set aside the way in general for all humankind. There is a curse attached to the one that would lead specifically those out of the way. The Bible says, you could think of it this way. Verse number 1, notice what the actual verse says. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord." But let's change some of those words. I'm not telling you to change the word of God. I'm telling you to think about it from the opposite. So instead of blessed, cursed. And instead of the undefiled, the defiled. cursed are the defiled out of the way who stumble against the law of the Lord. All we're doing is looking at it from the opposite perspective, and all I am trying to tell you this morning is that God has provided in general for humankind the way. There is a path that has been created or set aside so that we do not have to wander all of our lives, because God has created or set aside a path. It is defined. Somebody has gone before us. Probably you already know who that somebody is. And set aside the path so that we can walk with purpose, with aim in our lives. Praise God for it. Isaiah chapter number 8, verse number 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Why? They've wandered out of the way. Not only do we see it in general, we see it providential. Verse number 3. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. His ways. And every man in general has to come to terms at some point with who is it anyway that put this path in place that we can walk with an aim and a purpose and not just sort of wander around. Who is it that set things up in the universe and in the earth the way that it is so that it's in order? Where do you think the great minds throughout the years have come up with highways and interstates and paths and so on? You said that's just logical. Where do you think that came from? The Lord has set the standard. Keep your finger there, if you will. Turn to John chapter 14, please, for a moment. John chapter 14. Very familiar passage, John chapter number 14. Providential. His way. John chapter 14, verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, notice the language here, and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You understand here there's a destination, and there's a way to that destination. Let's continue to read. Verse number 4. And whither I go, you know, and notice this, the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now notice what he says. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Show us the destination, if you will. Well, we're in such a hurry to get to the destination, aren't we? Are we there yet? Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Oh, Jesus, over and over again, claimed deity, claimed to be God. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. What a foolish person it is that can look around at the works of the universe and say, I just cannot believe. No, you just will not believe. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Notice that. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. God is not hiding this way, this providential path that he has set aside for us. He wants us to arrive at his destination, which is just truly arriving at knowing him and being in relationship with him. General, providential, personal. At some point, it's got to become personal. Is your salvation, is the gospel, is the word, is God's plan and purpose for your life this morning, is it personal? Or are you riding on someone else's coattails? Or are you riding on your own coattails? Yeah, it's personal, all right. I've got my own way and I'm following it. Good luck with that plan. It's got to become personal. Psalm 119, verse 5. Oh, that my ways, the way, his ways, my ways. And it becomes personal. You remember the social media platform? We talked about it. I don't think it's around anymore. Aptly entitled, MySpace. Old Frankie Sinatra sang a song. I did it my way. You talk to people in this day and age, and it's kind of cool. Maybe this stuff changes pretty quickly. So if some of you know that this is not in anymore, just go with me. Go with me, all right? As I get older, I'm getting more out of touch. They say, I'm doing my thing. Or maybe if you're really hip, I'm doing my thing. Right? Don't tell me whether that's right or not. It'll come back around, by the way. The same way that cool and all that other stuff, that's not new. It's just come back around again. Proverbs 21:2 says this, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. Proverbs chapter number 16, verse number 25. These are familiar verses. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 14:12 repeats it with one word change. Which to that? Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse number 8. I'm talking about it becoming personal. My way. Where are you going in life? What is your purpose? What is your aim this morning? Are you simply wandering, floating, being carried about with the winds of change in society this morning? Or do you have a purpose? Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse number 8. Ye shall not do after all things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. Judges 17:6 talks about it. Judges 21:25 talks about it. Why is that significant? Because there was judgment taking place. And you know why God says there was judgment taking place? Because every man was doing that which was right in his own eyes. Judgment was taking place. And that way, that path, that smooth portion of space that's been created, that's already been set aside, that we ought to be able to walk on in life. No, folks decided they want to wander their own way, and they're stumbling and they're being offended at the way. General, providential, personal, instructional. You know the reason why you cannot help anybody else with true purpose in life? Because you yourself haven't found it. I am convinced the reason that many believers do not personally engage in witnessing, having a personal encounter with a neighbor, a friend, a loved one, a coworker, a fellow student, whoever it may be, is because they are in their life, whether they're a believer. Obviously, we don't have to even talk about the lost. But they are in their life as a Christian, in some ways, wandering. And we can't stand before somebody and say, look, follow me. I'm going to show you the way, if I'm not confident in the way myself. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. His way. It's instructional. Young man, you want to clean up your way? By the way, we may just preach an entire message about the enemy's attack on the young man. Young man, it's so important. Young person, it's so important that we cleanse our way early in life. You don't have to wander and trip and fall and get banged up and bruised up and all of that just so potentially you can have a testimony and one day say, young person, you don't want to do what I did. Now, I thank God for those that have that testimony, but you don't have to go that way, young person. You can cleanse your way early and maximize the potential of your life. Lead other people in the way. We could say so much more. Number one, the way. Number two, the walk. We talked about maneuvering. This is motion. The way is that space set aside for maneuvering. The walk is simply motion. And could I say this morning? It is truly difficult to simply stand still. We say things like, I've arrived. And maybe we would never say that out loud, unless we're talking about a physical destination. We've arrived. But in life, maybe we would never say that out loud. We would get responses and looks, and we would know. Now, I just stuck my foot in my mouth. But how often do we say it in our heart? I've arrived. I'm in my place. And I'm just going to stay right here. No need to go a step further. Certainly no need to take a step back. Very difficult to stand still. I'd say it's impossible. Dr. Harding said it last week. He said, you're either going forward or you're going backward in the Christian life. There is no standing still. That's why he says, walk. And I appreciate Job chapter number 23. What a phenomenal book. What a phenomenal testimony. Job, chapter number 23, verse number 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. And if we're not careful, we would say, there it is, Pastor Taylor, a believer who is wandering. And he may be wandering in a very limited perspective, but Job still has a greater purpose and a greater aim in mind. What am I saying? There are going to be times in life where we're not sure which direction to go and to take and all these things. I understand that. There are times in our life where it seems like we are wandering. And God doesn't seem as close or as near. And that's not just because he's judging us or we've sinned or what have you. I really believe God wants us at times to wait on him. But while we wait, we better keep on walking. What do I mean by that? He says in verse number 10, Job says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Notice what he says in verse number 11. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. I've gone forward, doesn't seem like he's there. Backward, I can't perceive him. On the left, on the right, I just don't know what God is doing. But God knows what he's doing, and I'm going to hold my steps till he brings me to the next destination. The walk. What do Adam, Enoch, and Noah, and countless others have in commonality of blessing? They walked with God. I cannot necessarily prove that with Adam, Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8, but I can with Enoch and with Noah. It seems to be the case with Adam that they walked with God, and God blessed them as a result. So even when it seems like we're wandering, we can continue to walk in the way, in the path. How do we do that? We walk with God. How do we do that? I'll tell you here in just a moment. Romans chapter 7, verses 4 and 5. Romans chapter 7, verses 4 and 5. Are you aimless this morning? Even as a believer? No real purpose? So how would I know whether I have a real aim, real purpose? How do you wake up in the morning? Do you wake up led by other influences first? My job says I've got to be there at 8 a.m. By God, I will be there. And that's the focus. Or is the focus the very first thing in the morning? Lord, that's a very instructive word. Lord, what would you have me to do today? I mean, I know there's a schedule. I'm not opposed to a schedule and working a job, all those things. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, he's first. And we're looking to him to aim our day, aim our walk. God, I know you've got something specific for me today. This is not just another day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and he's got a purpose for it. But do we wake up that way, or do we, like, this is just another Monday? Just another Monday. No, it's not just another Monday. This is God's Monday. January 10th, 2022. This is God's Monday. Lord, what do you want from me today? Romans chapter 7, verses 4 and 5. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. You should be married to another, even to him who's raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. What is this all about? Sin leading us, the flesh leading us, the world leading us, the devil leading us, giving us our purpose, the motions of sins. But when we see Him as Lord and we approach Him that way, the very first part of the day, the very first part of the week, the very first part of the month, the very first part of the year, boy, we've got some goals. We've got some things to accomplish. And it may seem like just another Monday, and there may not be much on my schedule, but I better be thinking about God's schedule. The way, the walk. Then we see a word about the wandering. The wandering. I want you to notice this. Verse number 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Verse number 8, oh, forsake me not utterly. Verse number 10, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I said the way has to do with maneuvering, the walk with motion, the wandering has to do with meaning. And then if you notice these exclamations of exasperation here, all these oaths, such are the exclamations of one who has experienced closeness and distance from the Lord. The song says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And someone that has at some point in time been closer to the Lord in relationship, and then has gotten away, can understand these exclamations of exasperation. Many a believer, I would say, has cried out, oh, how did I get here? How did my life turn out this way? When we're honest in that question, we would get the answer. You wandered. And as a result, life lost meaning. I do not espouse the teachings necessarily of clinical psychologist Dr. Jordan Peterson, but he made a statement that, one, I think there's a lot of biblical belief in a lot of what he says. I don't know whether he's a believer or not. I thought this was an excellent statement. He says, happiness as the primary goal of one's life is, quote, a shallow boat in a very rough ocean. And how many people, when you ask them, well, what are you looking for in life? What are you after in life? I want to be No. Shallow boat in a very rough ocean. But when we get to know some of these kids' songs and we really understand what they're about, then we know that happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter if the teardrops start. I found a secret. It's Jesus in my heart. No, happiness as an end in and of itself. We've got to close this morning. We've talked about the way, the walk, the wandering. Number 4, I want to mention to you the word. The word. Verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse number 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if the way is the space set aside or created for maneuvering, if the walk is the motion, if the wandering is the meaning, then the word is the map. How do I know where to go, what to do, what my purpose ought to be in this life? Hey, we have a map this morning. It's a better map than what they had in yesteryear. We were talking about the GPS system last week and how wonderful and phenomenal it is. And you remember the old days? You go down route number 32, and when you get down to where it bends in the road right after that, you're going to see a street called, and that's how the directions go. And if you don't write it down, good luck. Now we got GPS, turn by turn. Now, I don't know that GPS is even the best. I think maybe the map is the best if it's kept up to date. We got some folks, God bless you, live in our area. You get out to close to their house and that GPS says, where are we? And I'm like, I don't know. I was hoping you knew. No, but a map. Well, you can look right there where that street is. Street may not even have a street sign, but there's the map. I know that's it. It's got to be kept up to date. What a book. Up to date. What a map maker. 6 to 10,000 years ago, here you go. 6 to 10,000 years later, it's the same map. What a map. Turn to John chapter 1 for a moment, please. I cannot talk about the Word without reading some from John chapter 1. Bear with me, we'll close here in just a few minutes. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, by the way, that's what we ought to be, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Do you understand your position as a believer? John was to be a witness, and so are we, that all men through him might believe. We are to be guides. We are to be showing people down the path of life. The Bible says about John the Baptist, verse number 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, this the Word. And his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the way and the Word. He's the destination and the direction. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. He's the map and the mark. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says that measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It is not another brother. It is not some famous or infamous person. It is not the average citizen who we should be comparing ourselves to, our lives, our path, our way. He's the mark. We compare our lives to His life. Do you realize this morning the vast difference between walking and wandering? And here's the real question. This is really the question every time we hear from God. Will the realization result in reality? Will something be different? Will something be changed? Will something be established as a result of the realization? Proverbs chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He is protection. He keepeth the paths of judgment. He secures and guards and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. You ever met a Christian and you said, boy, that person is wise beyond their years? You know how they got that way? The Word of God. That's how they got that way. And when you go to get counsel and you want to find somebody to try to help you with direction in life, you better first go to the Lord. Second, go to His Word. Third, go to somebody who's got a relationship with the two, which are really the one. Proverbs 2:10, when wisdom entereth into thy heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman. There's some strange men out here and there's some strange women out here, just as dangerous. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. By the way, many of these strange men and women are on television. They've got their own shows. Just their first name, Oprah, Phil. And I could go on and on. You say, now don't mess with my Oprah and my Phil. You better get to the Word of God, friend. All that hogwash, societal so-called junk wisdom, we better get back to the book. I didn't intend that, but the Lord did. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Notice that. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. Good luck on that road. None, this is a startling statement, none, Proverbs 2:19, that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. He then comes back to his point, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. I'm thankful there have been some men and women in my life who understood the vast difference between wandering and walking in life. I hope to be one today. I wonder if you do. If you do, guess what? There's a map. There's a map for that. Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah. The way, the walk, the wandering, the word. What do we need this morning? We need the word. We need Open Door Baptist Church members to know this book, to love this book, to commit this book to our hearts and our minds and our lives so that we are literally walking Bibles. And when somebody asks us for our opinion, our advice, we would say to them, as I found myself saying very often recently, I have nothing original to give to you of myself. I'm going to attempt to give you what is original with the original. That's all I can offer to you. And may we do the same for people that will. They will. People are searching. They're looking for purpose. We have got to be witnesses to be able to show them. And every single person in this room has that mandate as a believer. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, how intellectually capable you think you are or you are not. You have a mandate. I have a mandate. Will that realization become a reality this morning? I pray it would. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Could I ask you the greatest question I could ask you, most important? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Personally. Personally. Can you call Him my Savior, my Lord? And you know without a shadow of a doubt that as a result of Him being your Savior and your Lord, you will go to be with Him. I will receive you unto myself. Where I am, there you may be also. Do you know Him this morning? Maybe there's somebody here who would say, Pastor Taylor, I'm not sure that I know Him. I'm not sure that I've been personally born again, but I am concerned about it this morning. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand right now? Let me pray for you. Is there one like that? I don't know that I have been born again, but I am concerned about it this morning. Pray for me. One, or one like that? I don't see any hands. Second question. Are you wandering in life, Christian? Or are you walking? Be honest. Maybe you'd say, Pastor Taylor, God has spoken to my heart this morning. Is there one like that? God has spoken to my heart. Vast difference between wandering and walking. I see those hands. Let's pray. We're going to have a time of invitation. We invite you to come if you need to make a decision for the Lord. You need somebody to talk to you about salvation, baptism, church membership, or maybe rededicating your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd be happy to talk to you about those kind of public decisions. Otherwise, we just invite you to come. Pray at an old-fashioned altar. Talk to the Lord. Get things right. Decide, I'm going to be in your way. It's going to be personal. I'm going to have a goal this year, this day. Father, I pray that you bless this invitation time. Thank you for moving in our hearts. I pray you'd continue, even during this time, help decisions to be made that need to be made. We thank you in Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet with heads bowed and eyes closed? And I want to invite you right now, as the music plays, I want to invite you right now to come if you need to come. Whatever it may be, whatever the need may be, would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? If you're here for baptism or church membership, if you need to come, just come right now. We'll have somebody deal with you about that. Get a record of that for us. If you need to come this morning, would you come? Would you come? Have thine own way. Your way, Lord, not my way. Your space, not my space. Would you come? Others have come already. If you need to come, we invite you. plays another stanza. This one is for you if you need to come. Would you come? Thank you so much for being here this morning. We invite you back at 1:30 this afternoon. We're going to meet again. We'll have a testimony time this afternoon. I want you to come and hear about our witnessing experience yesterday. Very exciting. And you come and hear about that this afternoon. Let's close in prayer. God bless you for being faithful in the house of the Lord. Brother Larry Rowe, if you would, lift up your voice. Pray for us to close this out this morning.